The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
Where the city lights don't shine, I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud.
Welcome to Armed Alabama. Of course, this is my favorite night of the week, Tuesday night, to come to you with more self-defense, firearm and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and of course, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, and federal law. If you have a comment or a question for us here at the studio, you can give us a call at 251-343-0106. You can also check us out on our Facebook page. We are simulcasting live on Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. Please like, save, and follow when you go to our Facebook page, and that way you'll be notified each time that we go live or we post a new ad or information or article. Also, we have a YouTube channel, and it's just simply Armed
Which
Alabama.
Which I uploaded, I think, 65 videos to it the last week.
Wow.
So we're up to June this year, but there's a lot of good stuff on there.
Also, check out our website, and that's armedalabama.com. Real quick, I just got a call right before I went on the air from Will Case, Friends of the NRA, and they are having an event in Chatham, and that's at the Chatham Community Center. And it's a Friends of the NRA event, and it's $35 tickets you can purchase at the door. Attendance is low, so he said odds are if you come and purchase a ticket, then the odds are that you will get a chance to win a firearm or win one of the goodies there. It's a really, really great event. So if you're
about an hour to get there, so yeah. Get in the car.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to go because it's going.
We would.
You've got a really good chance to buy a firearm. Yeah, we would have been there tonight, but of course the event was on a Tuesday night, unfortunately. But anyway, we definitely want to thank Will Case and his work and others that volunteer for the Friends of the NRA, not only in Mobile, but in Chatham as well. So definitely plenty of tickets there, $35 at the door, good food, good events, and you got a really good chance of winning a firearm or other goodies. Speaking of other goodies, Judge, as you're aware, we have a new sponsor, and that is Mike Ward's Liberty Safe, and we are glad to have them join us here and on Armed Alabama. We want to thank Sarah Ward and Philip Ward, and we are so glad to have him aboard, and we look forward to having Philip Ward in the studio with us. So,
and they're on really where Moffett Road hits the west side of I-65. I assume they still have the big kind of billboard with the safe on it.
Can't miss
it. American-made safes. They're great, and stop by and see them.
Yeah, definitely. When you stop by there, tell them that you heard about their store and their safes on Armed Alabama. And, of course, we want to thank our other sponsors, McCoy Outdoors. They are definitely our signature sponsor. We want to thank them for their sponsorship and advertising on Armed Alabama. And if you're looking for a new firearm or outdoor gear or new tennis shoes, then McCoy Outdoors is definitely the place to go. Christmas is just around the corner, so now's the time to make your Christmas list up.
Because it ain't Christmas unless there's a gun under the tree.
Absolutely. Speaking of firearms, Judge, definitely wanted to talk about local veterans. And we had, within the last few weeks, we had a local veteran, Gary Mazingo, retired Lieutenant Colonel. He is owner-operator of First Class Arms Training in Gunport, which is on Highway 188 down in Codian, Alabama. So we're going to try to spotlight different veterans between now and Veterans Day. So if you know a veteran that has an interesting story and a story that needs to be told, then by all means, we want to have them on the show. So give us a contact. Give us a call here at Armed Alabama or the show here tonight. And, of course, that number is 251-343-0106. And you can also send us a message on Facebook. So we would love to have any veteran that has a good story that needs to be told. Definitely give us a message or give us a call here at the studio.
Especially if we have, like, any World War One veterans out there. That would really be great. But probably not that many left.
I think they may all be passed away. I can't remember.
Yeah, it could very well be. Adam, I'm going to post this, but, you know, we have a show archives, minus commercials. That's really fun taking those out. And it's on a site called SoundCloud, and you can download those shows. They're about 44 minutes each. You can download them, like, you know, to a thumb drive, or if you put a CD or whatever, and you can play them in your car. And so what you do is just put in Sound, SoundCloud, SoundCloud in your search engine, and get to that, and then in the search box put in Armed Alabama Radio, and that'll get us to us. And we're up to, like I say, I've been kind of negligent. I'm up to the 21st of last May. But probably in the next few days, I'll have it up current. But you can download those shows. So a lot of these you can't download, different people, but ours you can. So just download them. Or if you just want to listen to them, you can also either go to Facebook or the YouTube channel, which we've got all of those shows, but we've got a lot of other interesting things. And one thing I kind of mentioned to everybody we wanted to talk about tonight, because there have been some headlines, are... you know, when can you use deadly force? And one of the things that came to mind, and I don't want to get into the one in Baldwin County, just because there may be people that serve on a jury, but in Memphis, Tennessee, I think it was yesterday, a store clerk faces murder weapons charges for shooting a fleeing chainsaw thief. And there's, you know, every state law is different, but in Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida, you cannot use deadly force if someone's fleeing with your property. You can only use deadly force if you feel as if there's an imminent threat that the attacker is going to cause you death or serious physical injury, or someone you're protecting. Now, if they're at the counter and they have, you know, the chainsaw cranked up or a knife, I'm taking this chainsaw, they're committing an armed robbery, and you could. You'd be surprised. I even have a lawyer friend that shot at a fleeing burglar. And, you know, I've given the sites and the code, but it's basically, even if someone breaks in your house, you can't shoot them unless you feel, and this is all subjective, you think they're going to use deadly physical force. I think that's still the standard.
Yeah, grave bodily harm.
You have to use deadly
yeah.
physical force in your house, or they're kidnapping somebody. If they're in your house and they're drunk, and they're, you know, babbling about something, you can't just shoot them.
Yeah, they may not.
That law could be changed, and I'm not so sure I wouldn't be in favor of changing it. But you still have to be. We'll talk more about it after this quick break from Armed Alabama.
give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106. We'll be back with more Armed Alabama.
To the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I own this establishment. Bought it from Greeley for $1,000.
You better clear out of there.
Yes, sir. Just hold it right there. Hold it!
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself. He's going to decorate his saloon with my friend.
Another Clint Eastwood. Unforgiven.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back, though, to, you know, when you can use deadly force, you know, you're supposed to shoot to stop, not, but you have the right to kill under certain circumstances. That's why it's called deadly force. And look at it this way. We used to say, is this a kill or be killed situation? That's what you've got to go through your mind. If you hear something breaking in your house and you go in the living room and there's a guy in there, you know, picking up your coffee table, you can't shoot him. Now, if he has a gun on him or knife on him, obviously that can raise in you.
Or he charges you or
yeah,
whatever.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. But if he starts to flee the house, no. Now, if he's kidnapping your child, that's different. You can, or he's committing an arson. But you got to think about that and get familiar with it. I've posted, you can go to our YouTube page, How to Look Up Alabama Law, or either better yet, a short summary is on handgunlaws.us. Go to our website and get the link for that. And remember, when you go to our YouTube page, like it or subscribe to it. We're at 1,350. And I'm getting ready to go to a new service, I think, that'll give us a lot better streaming, and we can stream to YouTube and to Facebook at the same time. So that'll be a big improvement.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Real good improvement.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many times that people think that just because of somebody's house in their house that they can shoot.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not what you want to do.
Right.
There was a case not too long ago in Texas where a female officer had came home, and she had really done 12 or 14
hours. Well, she thought she'd come home.
Well, she thought she came home, but she actually, because of her fatigue, she had just put in a 12 or 14 hour day. Because of her fatigue, she got off on the wrong floor. The door was open that she thought was her apartment. It was actually somebody else's, and she walked in the apartment and shot the actual apartment owner.
Yeah, that's even worse.
It is. So, I mean, the thing about it is it's up to you to make the assessment. You just can't just go in and guns a blazing and shooting. You never know what the situation may be. I mean, it could be a person with dementia or Alzheimer's.
Or a drunk college kid.
You know, somebody that's drunk or whatever that may be no harm at all.
Maybe couldn't be harm to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, and as I commented, if y'all don't look at the truth about guns, that website, go there every day because it's got good gun news. But they pointed out how most police departments have a period either from 3 days to 10 days where if a police officer is involved in a shooting, he does not have to give a statement until that time period's passed. And, of course, the reason is they've negotiated a contract with the city. But the other reason is they've done studies that it takes 2 or 3 sleep cycles, 72 hours, for traumatic memories especially to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
And
Due to the adrenaline and stress.
Oh, yeah. And what I've always said is, you know, it depends on where you're involved in shooting. If you're in your home and it is a stranger that's broken in, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you're maybe in your girlfriend's home and somebody breaks in and you shoot him and he winds up being her ex-husband, but they're divorced and final, that's kind of another. But couple of things you ought to say is, number one, 911 is the same as talking to the police. Anything you say can and will be used against you. So give them the location, say, need the police and paramedics, whatever. I have, it, assuming this is true, a burglar broke in and my life was in danger, whatever the circumstances is, and I had to shoot him. He may be dead. He needs medical attention, whatever. And don't hang on the phone with them because, number one, adrenaline makes a lot of people talkative. And you don't want to talk for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and say something you shouldn't. Second, somebody's been shot. Maybe they're playing possum. Maybe they hadn't been shot as bad as you think. You need to be watching them and not talking to somebody on the telephone. So get them off the phone when the police arrive. There's one issue. The police have a right to determine whether they think there's probably been a self-defense shooting there, and if that's the case, not arrest you. So that kind of gets a lot of people to talk. Don't let it. You want to give them your, you know, your ID, obviously. That doesn't violate your Fifth Amendment. Give them your ID, your driver's license, think, know who you are. But put it, you know, say, I had to shoot this man. He broke in. I thought he was going to kill me. If assuming that's it, keep it real short, not a statement other than, longer than that. And if there are any witnesses that are, let's say you're at a store, that are going to walk off, or if there's any physical evidence like, hey, there's his knife, you need to point those kind of things out. And after you finish, say, other than that, gentleman, I need to consult my attorney, so I'm going to remain silent, and I'm going to invoke my right to an attorney, and we'll set up an appointment with you in a day or two. And if they say, you know, threaten you with jail, fine. It's better to spend a night in jail than a decade in the penitentiary. You know, and I'm not saying this would happen in Mobile, but they can very easily, they can lie to you, basically. They can say, well, another witness told us that you weren't afraid for your life. You said that afterwards, or that you said you couldn't wait to shoot somebody. Don't believe that type thing. Just do what you're supposed to do and let the other roll off of you. Then find a lawyer that handles those type thing. It may not be a criminal lawyer. You know, criminal lawyers are used to real criminals. And a home defense, a self-defense shooting in the home, or even one out on the street, is a little different situation than some thug that's committed a drive-by shooting over dope. So, you know, you just want a lawyer you can get along with and understands the self-defense law.
Judge,
and then go talk to him.
I wanted to ask a question because I'm trying to imagine a scenario where I'm awakened in the middle of the night, somebody's busted in the door.
Yep.
I know somebody's in the house.
Let's say you have an alarm and the alarm goes off.
Somebody's in the house. First of all, I'm not going to be the calmest person in the world. That's kind of frightening.
Well, you've woken up. You're disoriented.
Yep. And you know, in a gunfight, you only have seconds to make a decision.
Yeah. Let's assume it's you and your wife at your house. Let's go ahead and finish this.
But the thing that I want to say is that, let's say I hear the movement. Yep. I may not even see them. I might start firing down the hallway.
Well, you might get put in the penitentiary then.
Well, but here's the point.
Yeah.
Do they not give you some leeway in the fact that you're only going to have a couple of seconds to make a decision?
Well, this is for the jury to decide.
Is this guy threatening me? Why the hell is he in my house, you know?
The jury decides whether, you know, they're sitting in your shoes, sitting in your chair. Would we, the jury, have done the same thing that Charlie did? Would we have perceived that he was a threat? That's why we recommend make your bedroom or make some room into a safe room, even if it's just a solid door and good locks. Lock the door up, call 911, or have your wife call 911, and you have the gun pointed at the door. Somebody smashes through that door, that's kind of per se
that they're imminent evidence. Threat to. Yeah,
yeah, because first thing you want, first and foremost, is you want to make sure that you, yourself, and your family members are secure.
Right.
And so that's what you want to do first. And as the judge said, retreat back to your
safe area.
Safe area. and you shut that door, you lock the door, and by God, if somebody is trying to come through that door, then definitely you want to defend yourself and defend your loved ones.
But if you just see them in your living room, you know, it would take you a little while to figure out, well, is this the guy threatening me, or is he just trying to make off with me?
Well, that's right. That's why go in your safe room. Let's say it's one of these botched SWAT raids that they've got your address instead of one block over, and they have a no-knock warrant. They bash the door in, and you think it's a bunch of criminals, and you go out there, and you fire, and the police shoot you down. That's why you're so much better retreating into your safe room. Whoever's breaking in has a plan. You don't. You've just woken up.
Yeah.
And so you need to buy time for your head to clear, to get the police on the way. And I'm not saying don't use deadly force if it's necessary, but the idea of charging out into a dark house or wherever with a shotgun is not the best thing to do.
No.
Yeah.
But you want to be on the defensive. Like Sun Tzu said, you hold the high ground, make them come to you.
Yeah.
And then you'll be a lot better.
Well, I like that answer because it'd be pretty tough to determine how much of a threat it is.
Absolutely. You have, well, you have a second.
You have to, I mean,
the
scenario
drill. You know, you think about 21 feet and 3.5 seconds or so.
Well, yeah. We're talking scenarios. I mean, it can be a million different things.
Sure.
A million different things.
I mean, the best type is the house. That's where you're...
Yeah.
The worst type is, like I said, you're at a girlfriend's house, and you know she's in the... You know, people now... Used
you
to be, nobody would go out with you unless they were actually had a legal divorce.
But you need to have some sort of a plan, and your family members that's in the house, they need to understand that there's going to be a plan, and the master bedroom or wherever is the safe room. That's a rally point in case something happens where, you know, you're going to do that with a fire or anything else. So you need to be able to have that plan beforehand any type of situation arises.
That way you don't have to make the decision.
Amen. Yeah. Exactly.
Great answer.
Exactly right.
So with that said, Judge, I was telling you today, actually, I had a chance to go and be with the Mobile County Sheriff Department on Executive Day, and one of the scenarios that they do, actually, they run lots of different scenarios within a shoot house that they have, and they use simmunitions, which is just a paint ball that is actually in a actual cartridge for an actual firearm. But, of course, the firearms are highly marked and everything else like that, and they do everything they can to limit any type of incident. So they have these paintballs that they use, and they run different scenarios within this shoot house. And so you had all these different individuals going through prior to me, and some of the scenario is the bad guy was in there, and as they went through the house, the bad guy was there. Of course, the bad guy was shooting the paintballs, of course, or blanks, because only the individuals that was going through there was playing the good guys that had the paintballs. But I'll finish this story after we get back from our break with more Armed Alabama.
Man, you're walking on the back inside of me.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
You want to play rough? Okay. Nope. Say hello to my little friend. You want to play rough? Okay. Okay. Do you like that? Huh? You want more?
I will never forget going to that movie. That's Scarface. It probably came out in 84, maybe, or something like that, 85. My mother I didn't know anything about it. She thought it was a remake of the Al Capone movie, which the original Scarface.
Yeah.
I have never been to a movie there was so much profanity in it. I mean, and my mother's taking me to this. I mean, I can't even... It was incredible. So, Adam, want to remind everybody, Second Amendment rally, Washington, D.C., November 2nd, 1 p.m. on the Capitol lawn. I have put a flyer up about it on the Facebook page. That is a Saturday. So, you know, I think I have to be in Birmingham a week from today. And if that's true, I'm going to try to get up there. And, you know, don't stay in Washington. If you want to save money, stay in Fairfax or somewhere and then just drive in for it. Because the worst thing that could happen would be 5,000 people, 10,000 people showing up. That would be horrific. You know, because any lunatic can get, you know, 5,000 people at anything. So we need to get some people up there. I know it's a long drive, but some people don't think anything of a 16-hour drive. But anyway.
Get in the driver's seat and go.
Facebook isn't working. We're going to, like I say, I think we're going to have a different service next week. Right now, if you're having trouble hearing us, you can either go to the www.fmtalk1065.com and listen online, or go to the Armed Alabama website, and then go to the radio show page. You can listen to any of those there.
TuneIn Radio app will also work.
Yep, sure will.
Yeah, there are way too many. Last thing I'll mention is, and I don't want to get on WKRG too much. They've been real good to us, but they made a big deal out of 3, quote, assault rifles were seized by Mobile Police Department. Well, they're not assault rifles. There's no such thing as an assault rifle, unless you have a Sturmgewehr 44. During the report, they call it assault rifles and assault weapons. And the police chief then is interviewed and says these fire bullets that will penetrate car doors and glass and all kind of things like that. Well, you know, 22 will also. And if you put all rifles together, that's, you know, semi-automatics, pumps, you put, you know, single action, you put, what's the other one? The real sniper, geez. Bolt action. You put everything together, it's 1.5% of all crimes, those type, rifles of all types. So, they're not increasing. I don't care what the police chief says. And those type of inflammatory stories scare people. I think what's more interesting is, you know, why does the Mobile Police Department own, I know at least one, but I think it's a couple of newer versions of the Heckler & Koch MP5 submachine gun that'll fire 800 rounds a minute. And they're full automatics. You know, who's the war against? You know, if those are illegal guns, that's fine. They've been seized. They never said that in the story. The basis of the story, the guns themselves are frightening, dangerous, et cetera, rather than was there a crime? Is this stolen property? That's a valid subject for it. But there was a lot of misinformation. I'll put the link up. It was about a week ago. But it's certainly fake news there. But now you had the Glock shootout a couple of weeks ago. You and your daughter went out there.
Yeah, we went to the
hot as you know what out there.
Yeah, it was fairly hot. We went to the Glock Shooting Sports Foundation match, and we had a good time. Before I talked about that, Judge, I want to get back on what we were speaking of before we went to the break, and that was talking about different scenarios as far as self-defense situations within a home or whatever. And I had the opportunity to attend the sheriff's shooting range. They have a shoot house there where they actually shoot paintball bullets at each other try different scenarios and go through different scenarios in a training capacity. But in this particular day, they allowed regular people that was invited to use the shoot house, and they set up different scenarios. So the officer in charge would say, okay, this is scenario, this is your home, and you have to egress to your bedroom or whatever. And so, but the bad guy will be there.
Clearing the house.
Yeah, kinda. The bad guy will be there. And of course, the bad guy had a blank. I had a pistol that shot blanks, of course. And anyway, so So there was actually, you know, a shootout within the shoot house itself.
Right.
So some people, like I said, had different scenarios depending on what they wanted to do. So there was some that was quite violent, you know, if it had been an actual scenario. But it's a great way to train or to see how that situation may transpire. But by the time it was my turn up, of course, I sliced the pie inside the door, and I think the op force there, the bad guy, the gentleman that was playing the bad guy that day, which was an officer, deputy, I don't know if he was quite ready yet, but he didn't quite have his firearm ready to go. Of course, by that time, I initiated contact and gave...
Gotta be quick.
Yeah, and I gave out a challenge call, and of course, he looked at his firearm as if he was going to go for it. And, of course, I initiated a challenge call again for him to get his hands up.
Just drop the weapon.
Yeah.
Hands up.
Well, he didn't have the
commanding voice.
Yeah, he didn't have the firearm yet, but, yeah. Just like that. You have to initiate a challenge call. And so he kind of raised his hands up halfway in a half-hearted way, but he was still eyeballing that firearm. And, again, I gave the next challenge call. I gave it with every bit of authority.
And that ought to be it. Not 15 times,
exactly.
Like you see often.
And I think at
I'm
that
telling
point,
you, get your hands up, or I'm going to have to shoot you.
And
right,
I told
one
him,
more time, I'm going
to. Yeah, like that one video we watched was
right.
Like 20 times.
Yeah,
three times might be too many.
Yeah, so the third time I gave it everything that I had, and I told him, at that time he had his hands up, but I told him to get on the floor, and of course, at which time he complied. Okay, so did I need to shoot him at that point, Judge?
No, you didn't. He was no longer a threat, an
Absolutely.
Imminent threat to you.
Even though the scenario was that he was in my home,
yep.
But he complied with, he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
He had his firearm there on the table.
And
but
you don't have to fire a warning shot.
No warning
either.
Shot.
In fact, oddly enough, I actually know a, well, she's not a young lady, but I'll say young lady, 40s. She shot a guy. She said, hold it, you know, he's coming at her. She shot him in the leg, and he fell down, and you know, it worked. But don't rely on that.
No.
It is unbelievably difficult. They've done calculations on how fast arms and legs move to shoot somebody, wing somebody.
Yeah.
If you got to shoot center mass, you know.
Yeah, and you had mentioned earlier on the Truler drill, which that was one of the drills that the Sheriff's Department did. They had.
By the way, I've got a paintball pistol, and we should film Tuler drill with the paintball pistol.
That would be good.
Because you've got 2.5-3 seconds. Somebody can run. Somebody in decent shape can run 21 feet, 2.5-3 seconds, which is the bare minimum it takes
mm-hmm.
to perceive the situation, draw, and fire.
Yep. They had a simulated target on a line that it was motorized, and they would that motor would pull it to you really fast. And mm-hmm. so, of course,
it's yeah, better to have somebody come with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
I do
yeah.
have a rubber knife.
But the officer was there, was hollering out what was transpiring. You know, did he have a knife or did he have a gun or whatever?
Yeah.
And then you had to use your judgment
yeah.
on what to do.
Yeah. And, you know, it all depends. Let's say you're a 25-year-old that looks like a linebacker, and you've got a, 12-year-old kid, skinny, and we say skinny welfare, running at you. You don't see a weapon. You're not justified in shooting, but if you're a 75-year-old little lady and there's a 25-year-old tough guy, he has no weapon, but he's running at you, he can kill you by knocking you over and, you know, with his fist. And you're probably justified doing that. So there are a lot of different situations. But
you know, I wish the Sheriff's Department would video some of those and show them to the public.
We've actually got some, if you'd look at our YouTube
mm-hmm,
channel.
We do.
We can film some more. I'm going to film another with using the paintball of because the Canovi, when you filmed it, but at Canovi's place, when I did the self-defense from the car, I have thousands of views on that. We have thousands of views.
It was very fascinating.
Yeah, and I've looked at a number of other ones, and in no other case is that demonstrated. Could you keep driving, basically? Every other one, they're assuming you're in park. Because that's just how it works, and y'all look at older YouTubes, you know, probably one of the first 30 YouTubes put up on Armed Alabama, but it's pretty easy to do, but I'll do another one with the paintball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think there was a story on TV today from Pensacola about a woman in a car that was moving, was shot at.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not always going to be stopped.
Well, and you can always, you know, if somebody has a gun or some kind of, if you still feel like your life or the life of a loved one is in imminent danger, you can use your car as the deadly weapon. You may not have a gun or a knife or whatever on you, but if, let's say, a crowd of people surround your car, and baseball bats breaking in the windshield, in my opinion, you're an imminent threat, a serious physical injury or death. You can run over them. You know, the only danger you run into is one of these attackers that's got their 3-year-old child with them, and that just kind of complicates things. So,
my worst nightmare would be in a car in a hostile crowd.
Well, yeah, and we've kind of talked about that before. You gun it if you have to, or bail out, you know, just bail out of the car. But that's when you want to have, you know, a firearm with you, and
or the very least, pepper spray.
Right.
You know, some of the pepper sprays that we've talked about in the past.
Yeah, they'll shoot 15, 20 feet.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want to have on stilettos or something like
that.
I mean, even if you're, you know, trans on the weekend or whatever, put on some just sneakers or whatever, you know, going to your show or your party. Don't put on those high heels.
And Judge, they do have pepper spray at McCoy's.
Oh, they got pepper spray, a lot of pepper spray at McCoy's. And remember, get pepper spray. Don't go somewhere and buy either wasp and hornet spray. That doesn't work. Or bear spray. Bear spray is 1/10 the strength of pepper spray because the government doesn't want bears hurt. But people think, oh, bear spray is stronger. It's not stronger. Get the OC spray.
You spray the bear and it might hurt you.
That's right. It's supposed to repel them, not do what, you know.
Not hurt.
I've been hit with pepper spray a couple of times, and I know they say, I guess I didn't have enough LSD in me or whatever, but I tell you, the next day my eyes still hurt.
Does milk help?
They say that. I've got some special wipes just in case.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of it. Folks, give us a call, 251-343-0106 on Armed Alabama, and we'll be right back.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane. So just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
That is Self-Defense Airlines. It is going to start serving Mobile pretty soon. My kind of place. Charlie, we were talking during the break. Another reason you may want to have pepper spray in addition to a firearm is, let's say you're stuck in traffic. This tends to happen in larger cities of Mobile. And somebody who's drunk or on drugs or whatever just starts kicking the side of your door, banging your door. You can't get out of the way. You don't have the legal right to use deadly force. You do have the legal right to use that pepper spray on them. And you can roll that window down and squirt them with it. And in that case, you do want the kind that'll shoot. There's plenty of it that'll shoot 21, 25 feet. That's why a lot of people buy the wasp spray. But
it doesn't take a lot, does it?
No, it doesn't. And you just got to make... One thing you want to make sure after you use it, make sure, you know, I think they say people touch... Their hands touch your eyes, you know, 10 times a minute or something like that. Don't touch your eyes or face, because I've used it before, and then within 30 minutes, I think a dog, I used it, you know, somehow I put my hand up and my face is burning because it's going to get on your hands.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of times the police don't like to use it, because they're pepper spraying somebody they're going to have to handcuff and arrest, and it's hard not to get it on.
Yeah, and definitely blowback or anything else like that if you have any type of wind or whatever. So if you use it, be prepared to have a little bit on you or flashback on you.
And that's one thing when we're talking about the Tueller drill, you know, lots of people, I don't know the percentage involved in self-defense shooting where somebody's charging you, the good guy, the one shooting, gets injured too because the other person closes so much distance and may have a, let's say, a baseball bat or something. You shoot them, but they land on you. They hit you as they're falling down. But statistically, if you get shot in a metro area and if somebody calls for medical assistance, you're going to live. So you got to keep your cool. And I know those are a lot of things to remember, but is it a kill or be killed scenario? And remember, just don't start babbling about everything because the adrenaline will tend to cause you to do that. So just kind of watch that.
Can I ask a light question?
You can.
Those paintball bullets, those aren't the same thing that they have on these paintball war.
No.
Well, that's simunition I'm talking about the kind that look like a kind of like a gumball, which you have to wear some padding unless you want to get.
I was going
to
say, wouldn't those things.
Yeah,
they'll sting.
They'll bring a welt, especially if you're 10 feet.
Yeah.
So but yeah, you want to wear some padding.
The officers that was, pretending to be.
I'd wear a face mask, too.
They did that as well. The officers that was pretending to be bad guys, they had face masks on. They had lots of clothing and padding on or whatever, and those things still sting.
Oh, yeah. Charlie, last week, I think Adam wasn't here, but I mentioned that, they've been saying that we have 11 million illegal aliens in the United States since the 80s.
And maybe 22 million now.
Well, a report was issued, one of these long reports published the 21st, actually of 18, but I just saw the headline the other day. It must have been republished. The estimates are now, it has your range, but the range is from 16 to, the estimate they give is 22.1 million, but it's anywhere from 16 million to 30 million. So it's, it's not the, and then they want us to use that term undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not undocumented because they're stealing documents. I mean,
they're illegal.
They're getting fraudulent documents. They're illegal aliens, but that's become a bad word for some reason.
There's got to be a lot of them if they can round up 1,000 from 3 chicken processing plants in Mississippi.
Well, you know what they do is they give them you get a speeding ticket, they give you a notice to appear in court. Somebody who's here illegally, they give you, show up in 6 months.
We know you're going to show up, so.
That is Congress not doing its job.
You're right.
It's as clear as I can say it. They're not doing their job. They're not protecting you. Well, county in Maryland in 6 weeks had six teens raped by 6 different illegal aliens, and yet they still are a sanctuary county. what lunacy.
I wish somebody would explain the rationale of a sanctuary, anything.
Well, the only thing I Middle Ages
other than
in a
your
church.
Heart is bleeding.
Yeah. There's no legal status to that. And when Eisenhower was president, he certainly was a very moderate Republican, not a right winger. And I'm not using this term to be nasty, but it was called, quote, Operation Wetback. And it was right, I think, between 3 and 4 million illegal aliens were deported in this 6 to 9 month period of time. And, all the Democrat candidates apparently have no problem with sending stormtroopers to all of our doors to take our legally owned firearms. So they shouldn't have a problem with getting, 11 to 30 million illegal aliens out of the country, but that's never on the table. Never.
But if they give them a driver's license in California, then they can vote.
Well, and Biden gives them health insurance.
Other states and become voters, even if they're still not residents.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody
really
know is on the phone, Alan. Adam.
All right, we go to our caller, which is my daughter.
You better hurry. You've got 5 minutes. Get going.
Hey, Lillian.
Hello.
Hey, so you called in to tell us about your experience on your first Glock competition. So at 10 years old, you shot your first Glock competition with what?
I shot with a 380.
A Glock 42, right?
Yes, sir.
So real quick, what was your experience and what did you think about your first match?
My experience was, since I got new sights online, it was a little bit difficult for me, but I made it through it, and for my first time doing it, I think I did really, really well.
Was the gun too big for you?
No, sir.
It was just a model.
It was just a change of sights that I didn't have practice with.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite part?
The lunch.
The lunch, that was your favorite part.
That's great.
Hey, you ask a child a question, yeah, we're going to get an answer.
Yeah.
Well, I might have said the same thing. Can I ask her a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lillian, seriously, when you get old enough and you start dating, your dad's going to love this, are you going to tell the young man that you own pistols?
No.
Well, I know why she's not going to.
I'm going to be shooting my family up.
Because Adam will be cleaning some of his when he's
out. Absolutely.
That's what I usually do.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling, sweetie.
Hey, you sound good on the radio.
Thank you.
Adam, this is kind of...
You too.
Take care. This is kind of interesting, the demographics on YouTube. 90% of the people that watch our YouTubes are male. 10% are female. And... Well, we've got majority of people are between 25 and 65. It's kind of spread out like that. But I downloaded all the demographics the other day. It's pretty interesting.
Well, there's widespread interest in this topic, Judge.
Oh, there is. There you is. Know. And that's one thing, and I just say Democrats, because Trump hadn't been a big buddy of ours. You know that. But... You know, at least he hadn't said he's going to seize legally owned guns that the courts have said are legal. But there's some, first of all, those people don't even think they're just lying. But
what they think somebody wants to hear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When we've got feet and hands kill more people yearly than so-called semi-automatic, well, let's say AR-15s, that'll make it easier. But next week, I think we've got lined up. I may have to call in, but our annual Halloween conspiracy show.
Yes,
talk about, try to talk about conspiracy theories related to firearms, but not necessarily. And it's a good time to call in and listen to us. Watch the show last year. Go to SoundCloud and listen to the show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had our friend... Glenn Ramos joined us on the show.
Glenn, if you're listening, hopefully Adam has invited you to be here because we need you here.
I have. And, of course, some people collect stamps. Other people collect coins. Glenn Ramos collects conspiracy theories.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I've actually got I got a new list of them, so that'll be fun.
There's not a shortage of them.
No.
That's right.
And, of course, there's always the steadfast favorite. Our favorite conspiracy theory is contrails,
contrails, chemtrails. That's right.
You're going to start that
folks
again.
Remember to subscribe to our YouTube page and go to SoundCloud and listen to the archives, and we'll see you next week on Armed Alabama. Thank you for listening.
Marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free.